And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. If your home is like most homes, then you tend to mark significant feast days of saints throughout the year. St. Lucy, St. Francis, perhaps if you have a devotion to him. Some saints that are well known just call us to acknowledge them, be that at the dinner table or morning prayer, evening prayer. But then there's those obscure saints that you think, what did she do again? Or I think I heard about him. Where was he from? Was it... And many of these are actually optional memorials. We'll see in our calendar that we get, we have one from our parish, and there'll be a diagonal line, either green or white. You can celebrate them or not, because they're not so significant, at least in our cultural memory. Well, when I was having a canonical treat with the Benedictine monks of Holy Cross Monastery in Chicago earlier this fall, it was beautiful how they took time to acknowledge every saint on the calendar, and it slowly dwelling on each saint as if that were the most important saint to them throughout the year. First of all, the night before, at the dinner, which is actually in the late afternoon, they would read about the saint that would be coming the following day. Some of them were, at least in our time, at this time, in this place, would be obscure to most Americans. But read a significant amount of their story of the life of each saint, taking time, not perfunctory, but dwelling on their life. And then, as they would pray all the hours throughout the day, marking all the canonical hours, that saint would be remembered throughout the entire day as well as at Mass. And there's this air of that we are seeking holiness, and this saint helps us to form us in that path of holiness. And you can almost feel it happening. Anyone who goes through the process of the canonization, of course, has a beautiful testimony of God's grace. Have you ever heard a saint that their life recounted that you hadn't known before and thought, well, that is just absolutely amazing? And just to think, on the calendar, even our calendar, only has certain saints, even those that are optional memorials. There's many more in other countries that are more particular to their culture that never even make it onto our calendar at all. But this is a particular day where we acknowledge all saints. Yes, those who we know, those who are obscure, but even and especially those who are unnamed, which is genesis of this feast day. Very early in the church, there was the saints were acknowledged who were martyrs. And then very soon, there were too many martyrs and could be acknowledged on the calendar. And so this day was to honor them all. And so it is in Revelation. We hear that the symbolic number, 144,000. But then we also hear that it was more than could be numbered. More than can be numbered on any calendar or any account. But this great cloud of witnesses who witness us, we also witness in our collective memory of what it means to be whole, of what it means to be whole. And as we study the lives of the saints, the very scriptures come alive, become incarnate for us, as it were, in their time and in their place, so that we can appropriate the same in our time and in our place. And so we have the words in John's first letter, where it talks about our call to be saints. He talks about this because he says that we are called children of God, not called to be children of God. We are called children of God, something that the world does not know, but we understand in light of grace. As we walk in grace, we're able to finish the sentences of those who have the same hope and calling. And so, yet we're still on that road, for he says, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, We shall be like him. So we have this dynamic where we are called to be more fully who we already are. More fully who we already are by virtue of our baptism. And this whole process he describes as everyone, he describes for you and me, who thus hopes in him, purifies himself as he is pure. And how do we do this? Yes, by accessing the means of grace, putting ourselves in the way of grace, by being here tonight, being able to encounter the cross sacramentally. But also, St. Paul, in writing to the Philippians, says very clearly, he says, let those of you who are mature think this way. And he says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. And so he says, this is an important means of growing in holiness. As we keep our eyes on those who are formed in Christ, we have a way of keeping our eyes on Christ, translated for us, made real for us in our time. For those, as we are being purified as he is pure, we're helped by seeing those who are further on that road than we are. And we find that that very means of purity becomes attainable within our grasp by God's grace. And so we have this wonderful dynamic that is echoed in St. Paul's letter to the Philippians that we heard in St. John today, where he says, yes, we are God's children, yet we're calling to be more like God's children. Whereas St. Paul says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, to make this very reality his own, this very reality of redemption. Is it not his own? But he says, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. So on one hand, he's made Paul his own, but yet he presses on to make it his own. That's the mysterious dynamic. We're called to be more fully what we already are. We've received grace, and we walk in that way of grace, to be purified even as he is pure. It's beyond our full ability to explain, but it becomes understandable to us when we see this reality played out in the lives of the saints, whose lives have been transformed into this holiness of Christ. And many of these lives are those who are not proclaimed saints, those we've known, and they provide an amalgamation for us, so to speak, a picture of holiness that we're able to walk in because that picture is completed in your life, in your time. That spotlight that shines on the saints now shines on you as you are called to incarnate Christ in your particular way with your particular DNA. So let us come to that altar and put ourselves in the way of grace anew. As we enter outside of time, as truly we enter into sacramental time, we partake of the same cross outside of time that the saints partake of in heaven. And here we are transformed and sent out to walk in the path that they have trod. Just a few announcements as we conclude our Mass today. Of course, tomorrow is All Souls, and just very briefly to say a word about that. Many parishes just fold it into the daily Mass, but you may have heard me already say in other announcements that we celebrate All Souls with reverence and great solemnity here, because it's, and the parish has a history of that, because it's such an important thing to do. As we celebrate the saints in the church triumphant, and then we intercede for those in the church expectant. Very part of the communion of saints, and helps us to understand also our own role in growth and holiness, and be mindful of our own mortality, which leads us to holiness as well. And also like to I heard Andrew, by the way, practicing with the viola today. And so the prelude and the postlude, very beautiful, sublime. So I hope you're able to hear that. Now, also, just very briefly, as you may have seen, if you saw the midweek message already, we're going to dedicate our carillon very briefly after Mass. And so this is has beautiful symbolism for this Feast of All Saints. It also is very, very grateful that it was given and for the memory of Isaac Charbach, whose baptismal anniversary happens to be today. The symbolism of the day is such that that bells, the carillon, help us to lift up our souls to heaven. They have a way of just drawing us upward as they call us to God. They call us to prayer, but they also call us mindfully upward. And as it turns out, exorcists say that demons hate bells. And so on this day of All Saints, we embrace that light of sanctity which disperses the darkness. As it turns out, the one for whom this particular carillon has been given had a heart for the city. And if he hadn't departed this life, he wanted to dedicate his life to ministry in Baltimore. At least one of his journal entries said that much. And so how beautiful to have a bell which calls us up to holiness and disperses darkness and draws others to Christ in this corner of our city. So let us go forward even as the bells call us to be more holy and to proclaim the good news, the gospel of peace.